Hello, sisters. Sister Deb from don'tperish.com. Hey, it's been a while since I was able to make an audio here, so I'm really rejoicing in it today. We're having a slower day. We've had a lot of things going on. Extra busy, lots of travel, still have some more things to go on ahead of us, and it's all good, though. But we're just rejoicing in a little bit of a slower day, catch up on some online ministry, and I had a witnessing episode this morning that I thought there was a couple things I wanted to share with you on it. Hopefully I remember what they are. I didn't really make any notes. But I mainly want to talk about not being ashamed of the gospel in public. And I want to read Romans 1:16 to set our minds on how we're not to be ashamed to proclaim the gospel in public. Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power unto God, unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. So we're not going to be ashamed of the gospel, no matter where we are, what's going on, who we're with, right, sisters? We wouldn't want to be ashamed of a husband or one of our beloved sisters or brothers. We don't want to be ashamed to be in public with anybody like that, right? So why would we be ashamed to even mention the name of Christ in public, right? So I'm going to give you an example here, and you're going to understand what I'm talking about. So I had to get some storage containers for our van home, and I was standing in line, and I had quite a few of them. And the woman at the cash register, I think she had a disability. She was very slow. She was very meticulous, very kind woman. But the line was really long ahead of me, and when I got in line, it piled up behind me. And it's a pretty small store, so everybody was kind of, like, congested there. And so, anyway, I'm standing there, and I'm just waiting. I'm not in a hurry or anything. And there's a woman behind me, and she said, she saw the storage container. She said, "Wow, you must have quite a project." And I said, "Oh, yeah." I said, "These are for a camper van." I said, "I found a perfect size." I said, "That's so hard to find." I said, "I'm so thankful to get just the right size to make use of every inch that we have." She said, "Oh, okay." She said, "In a camper van." She said, "Where all do you travel?" And guess what, sisters? Door opener for a gospel card. And I felt led I was going to give her one anyway. It was just that kind of situation. So I pulled out the gospel card and I gave it to her. Quickly told her who we are, what we do. And I said, you know, we travel around the country. And we like to share with people that there's a lot of deception out there. I said, a lot of people think that you could just believe and get into heaven. She goes, "Oh, I know, you have to serve the one true living God." I said, "Absolutely." She said, "That's Jesus Christ." I said, "Absolutely. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by him." I said, "But many people are trying to climb up the wall to get in." And I said, "What I mean by that is they're just believing and thinking they're going to get to heaven." I said, "But you have to." And I said, the man-made religion, the churches out there, I use the word church for people who go to church so they can understand. I said, they may talk about the word repentance, but they're really not repenting. They just say it. And I said, the whole life of a true Christian is going to be one of repentance. And then you get a new heart and a new mind and a new life. You're born again. She goes, "Oh, yes." And she was kind of like putting her hand on her heart. And she's nodding her head like, yes, she knew all that. And I said, then we're going to follow in obedience. And she said, "Oh, absolutely. We need to do that." And I said, okay, so we like to share with people that they're not being taught the truth. Man-made religion and churches are not teaching the truth. And I said, I was Lutheran. I came out of that. My husband was AOG or Pentecostal or something like that. I said, we both left that behind. And when we started reading the Bible and seeing what they were teaching, we were like, we totally left that. We see that they're not teaching what the Bible says to do. They're, in fact, teaching the opposite. I said, there's a lot of sins in there. She said, well, I go to the Lutheran such and such church, and she pointed out the window, and I'm assuming she said across the street or something. And I said, can I share something with you? And she said, yeah. And it was going pretty good, and people could hear. I wasn't talking really loud or anything, but the people ahead of me and behind me could hear, and I could tell some were listening, and then some didn't really want to hear it. I said, have you ever looked into Martin Luther? She goes, oh, yeah. And she gave one of those looks like, yeah, I know. I said, he was a murderous heretic. She goes, well, yeah, but he, and I don't know if she said either printed or translated the Bible. I don't know which one she said. And I said, you know, he might have done some good. I said, But Hitler had soup lines. It said, a little bit of doing something good doesn't make you good. She said, well, he did a lot of good. And I said, but still, okay, Revelation 22, 14 and 15, I told her, I said, let's just look at one thing. I said, one lie. Revelation 22, 14 and 15 says, if you love and practice a lie, you're going to be left outside the gates of heaven. And I said, let's just look at, Martin Luther had a lot of sins. Let's look at one that we see today, Christmas. I said, is that not a lie? She kind of looked at me, and all of a sudden I could tell she didn't really want to talk a whole lot anymore. She said, well, we choose to worship him on that day. I said, but it's not truly the day he was born, so it's a lie. That means if we love and practice it, we'll be left outside the gates of heaven. And she said, well, I think we'll just let this go. And in my mind, I'm going, I'm not going to let this go, because she's saying things that are not true, and there's people hearing. And I was thinking about how the Bible says, to him who knows to do good and doesn't do it, to him it's sin. If I would have just been quiet and turned around and just let her say that stuff, to me that would have been sin. And so with the spirit within you, you don't stop your conscience. You don't be fearful of a confrontation. You don't stop talking, because I could tell the people around were listening and they heard the word Christmas and they're probably all loving it by the way they're looking at it. And I was like saying that it's a lie and they weren't liking it. And so I wasn't ashamed of the gospel. I kept going on it. And I said, so you want to worship him the way you want to. I said, have you ever looked in the Old Testament? Nadab and Abihu, and I don't know if I pronounce those words right, those names right, but anyway, go look it up. They had strange fire. I said, God killed them. They wanted to worship God their way, and what happened? I said, Mark 7 tells us that our worship is in vain if we don't do what God says to do. She said, I think we'll just leave this be. And I said, ma'am, I want to encourage you to test yourself, test your pastor, test the man-made religion, test everything that you've been taught. I said, there's a lot of sins that go on in that Lutheran church, just that one, not to mention all the rest of them. I said, they're taking your money to put it in buildings and pay pastors to live lavishly. I said, those are just a couple. I said, I could list a whole bunch of sins for you. And she kind of stopped looking at me. She turned sideways and she walked off to a next aisle where it just opened up. And she went to get in that line. As she was walking away, I said, ma'am, you need to repent, lest you perish. I said, we're here to help you. Have your husband contact my husband. And I could tell the people around weren't overly happy. And quite honestly, I wasn't even really paying attention to it till it was pretty much all done. I was like, whatever. It was just a flash in my mind, you know. I think Satan can do that to you while you're talking or something to try to get you fearful, but I don't care. The truth of God needs to be upheld. She's claiming to be a Christian. She's saying things that are not true out in public that might stumble other believers. And so I want the truth to be known, and I was standing for Christ. And, well, Jude says to contend for the faith once delivered to the saints. And I wanted to help her for her soul, because I love her as my neighbor. And so she went over to the other cash register, and she was checking out, and I wasn't going to bother her afterwards because she turned around and left and everything was said. Well, when it was my turn to get up there, that poor woman at the cash register that I was in that lane, she was working really hard despite her disabilities and trying to keep going. And when I was done, I made sure to give her a gospel card. I said, here, I want to give you some good news. And she looked at me. She said, thank you so much. I want that good news. Now, I don't know if she was listening to me while I was talking and sharing all that, because I was pretty close to the register. And I don't know, but either way, I was like, yeah, praise God for that. I know she had to have heard. And so I was like, yeah, just speak the truth, be bold, and stand on it, and don't be fearful. And so now after I share all that with you, you're probably going, or you could be thinking, so Sister Dob lives in a van. Her and Brother James travel around. Easy door opener for us. I always get opportunities when I say that, because people always say, oh, where do you go? What do you do? And things like that. And it opens up the door for a gospel card. So let's pretend, well, not pretend. Let's just say that if you were in that situation and you're not traveling and you're not Brother James and I doing what we do, and you live in a house and you have a garden and all this, all these good godly Titus 2 things, praise God for that, whatever it is that you have. Say you're in the store buying some things and the woman says something to you and you want to give her a gospel card, but you're not buying those storage things for a camper van, but you're buying them for your home. So instead of saying, oh, I'm getting these for my camper van, and I do that on purpose to open the door, you could say, I'm buying these for my pantry or my kitchen, whatever it is. And like I said, and this is why I said this, there's such a reasonable deal, or it's a really good deal, you know, it was a very reasonable price I was paying. You could say something like this. The Lord tells us to be very frugal or very resourceful with our resources, to be very good stewards. I'm sorry, I'm messing it all up. I'm getting distracted out here. We're out here in the world. So you could say something like, well, the Lord teaches that we should be good stewards of the resources that we have. So I appreciate stores like this and the affordable prices we pay because I'm a born-again believer, and I want to serve and honor my Lord. You need something like that that opens the door, and then you could pull out a gospel card and say, here, I would like to share this with you. And then wherever the conversation would go, or maybe it wouldn't even go anywhere. So I'm just trying to share some simple ideas that are door openers that, so when you're in a conversation with somebody, if they don't bring up the things of God, you'll think about a way, a concept, a precept from God's word that you could put within your life, the situation you're in, to mention it about him, exalt him, lift him up, and then it brings the door opener. You're kind of, you know, showing who you are, who you live for, who you're exalting, why you're doing what you're doing, because we should be frugal, so there's always a door opener on that when you're in the store. And so, yeah, I just thought I would share that with you. And then I was going to close with reading 2 Timothy 1, 7 through 9. So, once again, we don't want to be ashamed of the gospel. Okay, let me go back. If those people in the store would have gotten mad, oh, be quiet, we don't want to hear it, that's for church on Sunday, take it somewhere else. What I'm going to say, basically, is I'm going to say, this is a conversation between her and I. If she doesn't want to have this conversation, she can leave or she can tell me to be quiet, which she didn't. The only thing she said was, I think we'll call that good or call that enough or whatever it was. And she didn't say stop speaking. And even if she did, I probably would have helped press through to defend the word of God at least a couple more sentences. So anyway, we don't want to be ashamed. I'm going to read, let's see, 2 Timothy 1, 7 through 9. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Now I'm going to stop there for a minute and say, you know, when you're out proclaiming the truth of God's word, the gospel, talking about him, defending him, whatever it is that you're doing in that current situation, we may be partakers of the affliction that comes, like I talked about, people getting mad, maybe getting kicked out of a store or something. We can't be ashamed or worried about that, because the truth and the glory of God is way more important than buying something in a store. Go somewhere else and buy it. Deal without it or something, right? Amen? Because eternity is forever, and we're here to do the works of the Lord, not just live our life and have a comfy, safe life. We're here to, well, we were sent into the world as sheep among wolves to proclaim the gospel, to be salt and light, to stand for his truth, to love our neighbor and share the truth. Amen? Praise God. So I want to finish up with verse 9. Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. So this is all about Christ, what he's done for us, our transformed life. The gospel good news is what we're sharing, and we're not going to be ashamed of the testimony of Christ. Praise God! All right, I'm ready to go back out on the streets. We have an event that we're looking at coming up. It'll be a little bit. Let's see what happens between now and then, if the Lord gives us those days. But each day we strive on, be ready to give an answer for the hope that lies within you. Have your gospel cards ready, and feel free to share. Love hearing the witnessing stories of us, truth going out, of Sister Standing Strong, Not Being Ashamed. Praise God. All right, love to you all, sisters. Hold fast. May God be praised.